On the subject of flourishing, focusing on Psalms chapter 92, verse 12 to verse 15, in our previous session, we spoke of the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. And we explained to you that trees in the Bible metaphorically spoke of Israel, but also speaks of the church and also speaks of us as believers. But we looked at some very important facts around the palm tree, scientific or rather agricultural or horticultural facts. And we saw that the palm tree is known as a climber. The growth form of the palm tree is stemless, and they grow upright or erect. And this is a picture of the overcoming nature and our ability to hook onto the grace of other believers, which leads to holistic growth. And we gave you a few examples of many things that we need to overcome. Secondly, the palm tree is cultivated, extensively cultivated. Horticulture, which is the art of cultivating plants in gardens to produce food and medicinal value, etc. And so the palm tree is one of the most cultivated plants. And in its cultivation, it becomes very useful because of palm oil, because of its effectiveness medicinally, ornamentally, physically. You see that it adds a lot of value to different environments. And we spoke about how we have to be cultivated in our walk with God, even in our general appearance in life. It takes a bit of training and development so that we can be cultured and we can become cultivated. The third aspect we dealt with was that the palm tree was economically important to the landscape. And palms were vastly used in landscaping because they are environmentally friendly. They require very little maintenance, yet they can change the landscape. So if you go to the desert, you will see the palm tree. If you go to Dubai, you will see the palm tree. If you go to Barbados or the islands, you will see the palm tree. So from the tropical to the desert, it is able to transform the landscape of the environment. So to flourish like the palm tree, we must be able to change the landscape of any environment, and you can change the economy of that region. And so we spoke about the church's responsibility to be entrepreneurial, to be innovative, to be inventive, to be industrious, to be empowering, developing, equipping, and skilling. This is beyond just the aspect of worship and singing as we know it. It is worship becoming service to humanity, to environments, to society and communities. And this is a vital role that the church must play in changing the landscape. Wherever a church is located, within a 10-year period, the landscape of that particular environment must begin to change. It must be upgraded simply because of the anointing, the corporate anointing that flows from the church into any region. Please follow with me in Psalms 92 verse 12 as we focus on the second part of the verse. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. And the second part says, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. So the second part focuses on the cedar tree. And the cedar tree is used in scripture to symbolize several characteristics. I'll just give you a few. Firstly, the cedar tree is a tree planted by the Lord. Psalms 104, verse 16 will tell you that. It is considered the first of trees. If you go to 1 Kings 4:33, where Solomon, in his wisdom, understood horticulture and agriculture, you will see that the cedar tree is mentioned first. It says, from the cedar tree, two other trees, meaning that the cedar tree is considered the first among trees. The Bible also describes the cedar tree as strong and durable, Isaiah 9 verse 10. It is also described as graceful and beautiful in Psalms 80 verse 10 and also in Ezekiel chapter 17. It is regarded as high and tall and also fragrant, Song of Songs 4 verse 11. It also spreads its branches wide, as we read in Psalms 80 during our prayer this week, and even it becomes a haven for the eagles and the birds to nest and to perch in its high branches of the cedar tree, Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 23. Some other very important aspects within the scriptures regarding the cedar, in that it was important building material. I'll cover a little bit more of that just now. And it was widely used to build the house palaces, to build temples. It was used to build ships. The Sidonians or the Phoenicians were well known for using the cedar wood to build ships. Solomon even made his chariot out of the wood of cedar. So the cedar wood was a very, very important material in several aspects within the scriptures, but its symbolism is so important for us because it says the righteous will flourish like the palm tree and will grow like the cedar. So we grow into the characteristics that are seen in scripture that symbolize the cedar. So let me just give you a few of them. One of them is might or power. Psalms 80 verse 10, the hills were covered with its shadow and the mighty cedars with its boughs. So you can see that the cedar is regarded as mighty and powerful. Secondly, in Psalms 104 verse 16, the trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted. To be full of sap means to be satisfied. It means to be in a place of abundance. And this is the characteristic nature that must be seen in us, which is part of the cedar. The cedar is also used to compare the beloved. In Song of Songs 5 verse 15, as the Shulamite is describing the beloved, and this is a picture of the church and Christ, and this is how she describes her beloved. His legs are like pillars of marble set on bases of fine gold. His countenance is like Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. From time to time, Michelle just uses these words to describe me. Don't get jealous if you hear her talking like this. His countenance is like Lebanon, excellent as the cedar. Now, here the word excellent means elect or chosen. And we are chosen in Christ. We are the elect of God. And we need to know that we are chosen just like the cedars, elect like the cedar, excellent as the cedars. The cedar is also regarded as high and lofty. Isaiah 2 verse 12 says, For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty. So look at the context. Upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low upon all the cedars of Lebanon. So obviously it was regarded as high and lofty. It was also a metaphor of pride. So because of its stately nature and its tall growth, cedars symbolize loftiness or haughtiness or even pride, which is one of the characteristics that must be eliminated from our lives. Now, the stately nature is something that we should consider, but not the lofty nature. The cedar is known for growth, for expansion, and providing covering. Ezekiel 31 verse 2, Son of man, say to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, whom are you like in your greatness? Verse 3, indeed Assyria was a cedar in Lebanon with fine branches that shaded the forest. High in stature, its top was among the thick boughs. The waters made it grow. Underground waters gave it height, with the rivers running around the place where it was planted, and it sent out rivulets to all the trees of the field. Therefore, its height was exalted above all the trees of its field. Its boughs were multiplied, and its branches became long because of the abundance of water as it sent them out. Now, as you read Ezekiel 31, you will see a very detailed description of, or rather symbolism of, the cedar with regards to Assyria. And you need to understand that when we look at this symbolism, this is very important, because the Bible declares the righteous will flourish like the palm tree and grow like the cedar. And yeah, we have to grow like the cedar to become shade or covering to others, to be expansive in our growth, etc. The cedar was also known for strong structure. The beams of houses were built with the cedar. Song of Songs 1:16 will tell you that. And lastly, in Ezekiel 17, verse 22 to 24, the cedar is regarded as majestic. Now, the word majestic in Ezekiel 17, and I'll come back to Ezekiel 17 later on, means something that is mighty, something that is noble. It means one that represents kings, greatness, chieftains, or nobility. So when you talk about the majestic nature of the cedar, it is about its kingly nature that is in us. In fact, Ezekiel 17, the cedar is used to depict the strong Davidic dynasty it's used in a very powerful allegory to describe the dynasty of David, but later on how that dynasty was devastated. So the cedar tree symbolizes the dynasty of God that must be seen in the body of Christ. And as sons of God, we must grow up and increase just like the cedar if we want to flourish. Now, cedar wood was considered prime construction material. And you and I are called the sons of God. The word son, as we all know, means to be a builder or to build the family name. You will see in 2 Samuel 5:11 that the king of Tyre, his name was Hiram, sent messengers to David, and he sent cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David a house. Even in 1 Kings 5, verse 5 to 8, you will see that Solomon's house and even the temple or the house of God was built with cedar wood. Just as Hiram built David a house, he also built a palace for King Solomon, and he used the same material to build the temple of God. During the restoration of the house of God, in the book of Nehemiah and Ezra, you would see that cedar wood was brought in to build the house of God. Ezra 3 verse 7, they also gave money to the masons and the carpenters and food and drink and oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre to bring cedar logs from Lebanon to the sea, to Joppa, according to the permission which they had from King Cyrus of Persia. Now, the house of God is now the sons of God. Hebrews 3 verse 6, but Christ as the son over his house, whose house we are. So the symbol of the cedar as building material, which is power, strength, majestic excellence. The cedar is also known for its fragrance. During specific times in the year, it's known for dynasty. This is symbolic of what must be seen in us who are the building material of the house of God, as sons of God. We are builders of the family name, and we must grow like the cedar. The cedar was used, as we saw, to build the house of David, the father, and to build the house of Solomon, the son. So the building material of father and son is seen in the nature of the cedar. Now, I want to give you this morning some very important facts about the cedar tree, and from those facts, draw certain spiritual principles that should be developed or grown into our lives. Firstly, the cedar is known to be tough and resistant. The cedar of Lebanon is a tough tree. It can withstand both extremes of weather, meaning heat or cold, as well as it is resistant to many pests and diseases. Now, this is what must be seen in the sons of God. As we grow, we become resistant to temptation. We overcome spiritual pests and diseases of this world, and we can withstand the wiles of the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seek him whom he may devour. Resist him, the Bible says. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brethren in the world. Ephesians 6:13, we put on the whole armor that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil, having done all, we stand. So know that the nature of the cedar is to be tough and resistant, which must be seen even in us as we grow in our faith. We must be able to be sober-minded, to exercise self-control. We cannot be tempted like Achan by the Babylonian trappings, or like Samson by the seduction of the Philistinian woman. We have to build a radar system that helps us to overcome the flesh. So to overcome the flesh, you should build a system in your life. One of it is the fear of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Secondly, is your love for God. That means if you love God and you fear God, you will resist temptation. You will build a radar system to resist any form of evil that can enter into your life. James 4 verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And we do that because we love God. The third thing is, in building your radar system, you abstain and you flee. 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, meaning we are sojourners and pilgrims on the earth. And this is what Peter says, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Paul, writing to his son Timothy, he says to him in 1 Timothy 6 verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, from which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee. Flee these things. This is the advice and instruction he is getting from his father in this faith. Flee these things. Pursue. So there are things you flee from and there are things you pursue. You flee from these kinds of love for money, and people strayed in the faith, greediness, etc. But he says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. And you have to learn in your life how to abstain. That means there are certain places you should not be, because you know that you are going to get tempted. There are certain environments you should not be in, because you will be tempted. Flee from certain things. What did Joseph do when Potiphar's wife was seducing him? He fled for his life. So you have to know what limitations you have, and we all have weaknesses. It is not weak to identify your weaknesses. It is strong to identify your weaknesses. And when you do that, you should abstain and flee, because the tough, resistant nature of the cedar tree is to know how to abstain. That's toughness. That's resistance. You're building a resistance. This is when you will flourish. This is when you will bear new shoots. This is when new things will happen in your life. The second thing about the cedar tree, and this was amazing, It is a snake repellent. Now, they say that the sawdust of the cedar of Lebanon contains substances. It contains certain substances that naturally repel snakes, so making the area around its trunk very safe. So this is the ability of the cedar tree, where it has a repellent against snakes. Now, we know that the snake is a representation of the serpentine nature that is very cunning and crafty. In Genesis 3 verse 1, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. So know that when we grow like the cedar, we are able to diffuse a repellent from the crafty and the cunning nature that wards off certain individuals from our lives. You know, in Hosea 12 verse 6, it says, as the prophet is prophesying over the nation of Israel, he says, "So you, by the help of your God, return. Observe mercy and justice, and wait on your God continually." Verse 7, "A cunning Canaanite, deceitful scales are in his hand, and he loves to oppress." So God is saying, listen, return to me, observe mercy and peace, and wait on the Lord, because the Canaanite is cunning. Now, the Canaanite spirit, and the word Canaanite means merchant or trafficker. It is the spirit of this world that is cunning in its operation, and the inhabitants of the earth become oppressed by the systems of this world. Deceitful scales means there is no fairness in its dealings. Its ultimate objective is to make its customers slaves. So when you grow like the cedar, you are able to discern the cunning, wicked, evil ways that want to oppress the people of God. Proverbs 22 verse 3 says, "A prudent man foresees evil and he hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." So when you are prudent, you are able to foresee, to discern the deceitful intentions of this world. And Christ is our hiding place. The Bible says a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. Where do we hide ourselves? We hide ourselves in Christ, because he is the wisdom of God. So know that we, as the sons of God, must grow like the cedar. And as we grow like the cedar, we are able to develop a snake repellent, where we can discern the cunning, crafty nature of this world. Now, something else about this repellent is that it puts a restraint on the snake. Means the snake doesn't come into that environment and it doesn't attack, or it doesn't decide to linger in that area. This is called a restraint on evil. Sons of God have the ability to put a restraint on evil. Samuel had a restraint on the Philistines during his time as a prophet and a judge in Israel. 1 Samuel 7:13. So the Philistines were subdued. Listen to the words. So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. That means that the anointing on Samuel put a restraint on the Philistines so that they could not attack Israel. And this took place for a long period of time. If I'm not mistaken, it was 40 years. So know that as sons of God, when we grow like the cedar, we develop a snake repellent, where we can exercise restraint over evil. That is why when a pastor comes into any environment, if a person is smoking, he quickly puts his cigarette down. If he's drinking, he quickly hides his drink, because it's called restraint on evil. I often deal with people that can get very angry, they can get very violent, they can swear, they can cuss, they can curse. But when we are in their environment, we place a restraint on their evil. Now, you might call it respect, you might call it fear, etc. And yes, that's true. But I believe that the Holy Spirit inside us is able to place a restraint on evil. And when the Church of Jesus Christ comes together in different cities and different regions, there's a corporate anointing that places a restraint on evil over those regions. Look at what happened when Paul went into Ephesus, how Diana, the worship of Diana collapsed. Look at how Dagon fell on his face during the time of Gideon. There's a restraint on evil through the sons of God. But you have to grow like a cedar. And as that nature of all those things I described in my introductory statements are built into you, there's a restraining influence over the regions. Now, the third thing about the cedar tree is it adapts to the environment. They say that in a forest setting, because trees grow very close together, the cedar typically grows in a pointy or straight branches, and it grows very upright and very erect because it adapts to that environment. On the other hand, in a more open or free environment, its majestic foliage begins to cover much more horizontal space. And it adapts to the environment by growing vertically or by growing horizontally because it is able to adapt to the space that it is planted in. Now, that's a unique quality in the cedar tree. Sons of God must develop something which is very important, and you need to take notice of this. It's called adaptability quotient. Now, we have IQ, we have AQ, which is also for adversity quotient, we have SQ, which is your spiritual quotient, we have PQ, which is your physical quotient. So all of these are different quotients, your ability to deal with a vast array of different situations in our lives. But one of the things that you must develop in your life is your adaptability quotient. I want to read a quote for you from one of the websites that has a business academy online. And this is what it says. The expiration date of employee skills is being shortened by technological advancements, so much so that a typical business competency is relevant for approximately 4.2 years. And it's down from 30 years in 1984. That means up to now, you can become irrelevant in 4.2 years if you don't adapt. The World Economic Forum estimates that 65% of jobs that currently exist will no longer exist by the time today's primary school children enter the workforce. This requires us to adapt. Now, what is adaptability quotient? It is the ability to determine what is relevant and to forget obsolete knowledge, overcome challenges, and adjust to change in real time. Those with a high AQ, they demonstrate certain behavioral patterns. Number one, they are very open-minded. They actively work on managing their unconscious biases and remain open to possibilities. Secondly, they actively seek to view situations from the perspective of others. Thirdly, they prioritize developing new skills and continually investing in their own learning to better prepare themselves for an uncertain future. Now, let me just give you an example of adaptability. All of us, we go to church, and when we are in normal church environment, we give offerings. And most times those offerings are collected in the form of cash and change, etc. And then we introduced the card system. For those of you that are part of our church, you'll know that we have a card system available where you could go and you could pay or rather make an offering with your card. Now you have a system which is called Zapper. Or there's Apple AirPay, there's Google where you can pay with your phone or your watch, etc. And all you have to do is have a code that's placed on the wall and you scan it with your phone and you can pay using your phone. Now, that is called adaptability, which means in a very short time, offerings will not be collected in the church. It will just require you to use your phone, scan a code, and make a payment. Now, that is adaptability because offerings can get stolen, because criminals know that you are a very faithful tither. They know that you are very faithful with your offering. So they will visit the church to come and steal the offering because these are very adverse times. But the church must learn how to adapt. Look at the adaptation we had to make in the last 1.5 years, that we had to shift everything to an online system like you have now, and you had to adapt. And this is where it requires us to be open-minded about the way God is moving things and shifting things, because it is necessary for us to adapt. The four men that carried the paralytic man to Jesus had to quickly adapt because of the circumstances. When they came to the house where they carried this man, Mark chapter 2 verse 3, the Bible says, they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men, and they could not come near him because of the crowd. So what did they do? They adapted. They uncovered the roof. They had an open mind. They thought quickly. And they were able to bring the man right before Jesus as they lowered him through the roof. Now, adversity often causes us to adapt. People are resistant to change and therefore cannot adapt. Now, Paul knew how to adapt to different environments, the Apostle Paul. Listen to his words in Philippians 4 verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. I can do all things. Adaptability. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In 1 Corinthians 9, as he's writing to the Corinthian church, verse 19, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all. I've adapted myself that I might win the more. To the Jews, I became a Jew that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, etc. And so he gives an example. I became weak to the weak and that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men that I might by all means have some. This is adaptability. Now, remember that Paul was a Jew, he was a Greek, and he was a Roman. He had these three citizenships that made him very, very adaptable. You have to learn in your own life to adapt, meaning to be open to God's will. Many of us are very stereotypical. A lot of people cannot adapt. If they go to a restaurant and the restaurant doesn't serve a chicken and mayonnaise sandwich, that person is paralyzed. They don't know what to do because they cannot adapt, because they don't think that there are other types of food. They are not open-minded about cuisine or trying different things. They don't know how to adapt. I have traveled to countries that are very, very poor, and I've traveled to countries that are rich, from Europe, in Africa and Asia and other parts of the world, in the US. And in every place, you have to learn how to adapt yourself. When you don't adapt, you are proud. Think about that. Pride will stop you from adapting. You must always be open to God's formation. Some people cannot handle different crowds. They cannot handle other race groups. They cannot handle being around different kinds of people because they have this inability to adapt. So learn from the cedar tree that in an environment where it's congested, it knows how to grow upright. In an environment where it is open and free, it knows how to grow horizontally. And that is the nature of the cross. Vertical, horizontal. It's called self-denial. It's called death to yourself. And adaptability means sometimes you have to die to what you knew yesterday. You have to get rid of the obsolete. You have to keep upgrading yourself. You have to adapt all the time. I had to learn how to adapt myself during this time to do video editing, to do sound editing, to make sure the videos can get to us on time. Learn how to adapt by creating an app so that everything is available to everyone. We might have all the material, but making it available requires us to adapt. So in your own journey, learn how to adapt. Think quickly. Become relevant. Think in real time. Make decisions that will allow you to adapt. The next thing about the cedar tree is that it was used for many different things. The cedar tree was used in a variety of products, to buildings, building boats, making furniture, making ornamental objects that were all made out of cedar wood. And do you know that the cedar wood was used in the cleansing process when a house was found to have leprosy? Now, sorry, I just want to find the right verse so I can give it to you. And it was found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 14, verse 4 to 7, where in the concoction that was made for the cleansing of the house, cedar wood had to be added so that the house could be cleansed. Because remember that the cedar wood is resistant to pests and infestation. Now, this speaks to versatility. It speaks to flexibility. And in our lives, as builders of the family name, we know that the body of Christ has different grace gifts. This speaks to the flexibility and the versatility in our growth and in our building process. They are all different types of sons. There's the Solomonic son who carries wisdom to finish what his father had started. There's the sons of Elisha that wanted to extend and expand and build the house. There's Barnabas, the son of encouragement. The sons of Elisha will be known as industrious sons. So when you look at these different types of sons in the Bible, there's the son that knows how to pursue, like Elisha pursued Elijah, and several other examples. Now, all of these different kinds of sons speaks to the versatile nature of the building material in the house of God, the diversity that is available in the body of Christ. And because of that diversity and because of that versatility and flexibility, we are able to receive different kinds of grace into our lives. There are people that are just skilled to do certain things. And it's their grace that is upon them. As Oholiab built the tabernacle of Moses, they were blessed with the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Bezaleel and Oholiab, to build the tabernacle of Moses. So know that we must be versatile and flexible as the sons of God and open to the grace of others that are in the body of Christ. Now, another thing about the cedar tree in terms of its of the facts around it, and I found this also quite interesting, that the cedar tree only bears flowers when it reaches the age of 30. The cedar tree flowers or grows what we call cones. In agricultural terms or in horticulture, they call it catkins. And it only does that when it's around 30 years of age. Now, what is that a picture of for us? This is a picture of maturity and knowing when is the right time to engage in something. Sons of God are discerning in terms of their maturity of what they are able to handle. They do not run before their time. You can have a good idea, but its implementation may not be the right time. If we want to flourish, we must know when we are mature and what we can handle. At the time when David was very sick, Adonijah, his son, decided to exalt himself. 1 Kings 1:5. Then Adonijah, the son of Agag, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." That means he just thought it was a good idea. And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And the foolish thing is that others decided to join him. But it was not the time for him to do such things. You will see that Jesus only revealed himself when he was 30 years old. The same for David, the same for Joseph. It was the right time. And Jesus revealed himself to be the Son of God at the right time. Now, you see, a father knows when a son is ready to be a heir. I just came from a meeting now where sons were sent out to go and continue with the ministry. They had planted a church 5 years ago, but they were only released now because the father knows that they are now ready to go and be fathers to those people that have joined their churches. A father knows when a son is ready to be an heir. Isaac could only receive an inheritance from Abraham when he was willing to lie on the altar as a living sacrifice. Paul knew when Titus and Timothy were ready, and he sent them to different cities to go and give oversight to churches. All of us know the story in Mark 10:35 of John and James, who were hasty and ambitious in asking Jesus if they could sit on his right and on his left. Mark 10:35, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Look at their audacity. And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right and the other on your left in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask," meaning you are immature. "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" The same with Peter. That's why Jesus said, "Peter, Satan has desired you to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you." And he said, "When you return, you would be able to strengthen your brothers." Even in John 21, when he speaks to him, he says, "When you were young, then you decided to do many things, like walking on water, like saying, not only my hands and my feet, but my whole body." And Peter said many things. But now, he says, now that you are older, meaning you are mature, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. All of those things that Peter went through matured him. You see, the cedar tree flourishes at the appointed time, when it's in a state of maturity. There are something some things that God would want to give you, but he knows that the very thing that he wants to give you will kill you because you are unable to handle it. You are unable to manage it. I, in my own journey as a minister, have come to understand that. There are some things that God has kept from us as a couple, from me, because he knew that I was not able to handle it. Now, as I grow older and I've seen more and become experienced, there are some things now I'm able to handle. In your own journey, learn that. Grow like the cedar that bears flowers or bears fruit at the right time. The fruit always bears in its season. Don't inject the tree. Don't give the tree steroids. A lot of Christians are growing on steroid messages because they don't know how to wait patiently on the Lord until the right time. Yes, I understand about missed opportunities. I understand about laying hold and grabbing hold of things. I know that. But in your faith, are you mature enough to handle its outcome? The cedar tree gives us great wisdom to know when is the right time. So this morning, the cedar tree is tough and resistant. It's a snake repellent. It can adapt to an environment. It is very versatile, and it knows the right time to bear flowers. May you flourish like the cedar tree. May you grow like the cedar. May you be building material in the house of God like the cedar tree, so that new shoots, new things, fresh things will take place in your life. The Lord bless you. Grace, mercy, and peace to you. Amen. Thank you.